It's Friday, December the 8th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines, and we've got a lot to cover tonight. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, what's going on? This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scaprell, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome all of our viewing audience and those listening by Apple or by Spotify. Again, welcome to the broadcast. This is End Time Headlines news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And man, do we have a show lined up for you tonight. We've got a lot of talking points, things to discuss. Before we get started, again, please don't forget to hit that like button, that bell notification that pushes our material out there on these algorithms of these social media platforms. And of course, download our free app, guys, if you've not done that yet. Listen, if you're listening to the visual of this, go to the description of this video, and under there, under the description of where it says download our free app, you just got to, all you got to do is click on the link, and it's going to take you to a page where you can download it again. On Apple or on Android. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademarked ETH logo, download the app. For all of you guys listening, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. Of course, you guys that are new, we want to welcome you to the program. Again, if you're new to the program, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below. Let us know that you're new, and I would appreciate if you guys let us know where you're joining us from. So again, like I said, we've got a lot to talk about tonight on this Friday, on this closing podcast of this week, of the first week of December. We're getting ready to head into the second week of December. This year is closing out quickly, and we're about to embark in 2024. And I'm telling you, and you've heard me say this over and over again, You better get ready, because 2024 is going to be a bumpy ride. So let's get after these headlines. All right, here's a new report is saying that the planet tipping points are now posing an unprecedented threat to humanity. Let's see what this is all about. Now, you guys already know that they're going to incorporate the climate change agenda. That's almost every one of these headlines. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, then why are you talking about this? Why are you sharing such propaganda? Guys, listen, for you guys who say this all the time, because we get the comments about it, you've got to wake up to the fact that if they are warning us of this stuff, of these events, these disasters, whatever the case may be, then we need to be paying attention to this, because again, regardless of what side of the tracks you're on, whether it's, you know, well, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in climate change. I don't believe in global warming. I don't believe in all this, or I believe it's propaganda. I believe it's man-made. It's man-made and manufactured, whatever the case may be. The bottom line is, guys, whatever side of the tracks you're on, it's not going to take away to the fact that regardless, we're still going to see disasters. And that's why we're warning you of this, is to know that things are coming down the pike. Humanity faces an unprecedented risk from tipping points that could, quote, unleash a domino effect of irreversible catastrophes across the planet. I want to highlight that. It could unleash a domino effect of irreversible catastrophes across the planet. So again, we already know here now that they're already telling us, guys, they're warning us, and they've been warning us that irreversible catastrophes are coming. What are we talking about here? Well, let's read on here. According to the report, the most comprehensive assessment ever conducted of Earth's invisible tripwires was released as leaders met for UN climate talks. Well, there you go. You can't get any more of an agenda than if it's coming out of the UN or the WEF, you better be paying attention to what they're talking about. Again, this was in Dubai this year, and it was set to smash all heat records. While many of the 26 tipping points laid out in the report, such as melting ice sheets, are linked to, quote, global warming, there it is, Other human activities like raising swaths on the Amazon rainforest could also push Earth's ecosystem to the brink. The report goes on to say that five of these are showing signs of tipping, from melting ice sheets threatening catastrophic sea level rise to mass die-off of tropical coral reefs. According to the report, once the world crosses the threshold for just one tipping point, dealing with the immediate humanitarian disaster could distract attention away from stopping others, creating what they are calling a vicious cycle of, now listen, pay attention to this, mass hunger, displacement, and conflict. Let me say that again, because this is biblical. Yes, this is biblical. The Bible warns of famines, pestilences, disasters, wars, and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now, here's what I want to stress to you. It tells us these things are going to happen, but it does not give you details on how it's going to happen. Let me say that again. Again, Jesus said, as one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, he said there'll be wars and rumors of war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, disasters, the waves and seas roaring, all these things, fearful and great signs from heaven, which we're going to cover that today as well. He tells you these things are going to happen, but he doesn't give you details on how they're going to happen. Now, why did I say that? Because what that does is that gives a huge blank canvas to begin to give us, it gives us a huge blank canvas to work with, because now we really don't know. We can only speculate on how these things are going to come about. So are they going to happen by natural order? Is it going to be climate change? Is it going to be global warming? What's the two of one and the same? Because global warming didn't, the effects of the scare and fear mongering of that kind of wore off. So they had to change it from global warming to climate change. But anyway, so again, that, or is it going to be by the engineering of the hand of man creating weather weapons and systems to manipulate the weather and create these things? Again, we can sit here and argue and speculate all day long on how it's going to happen and who's going to be behind it. But the bottom line is they're warning it's going to happen. Now, let me go back to this article. Once the world crosses this threshold or this tipping point, it says here, it will create a vicious cycle of mass hunger, displacement, and conflict. So you and I should be really preparing ourselves for that. We should be doing everything we can within our power, in the natural and spiritually, preparing our hearts in prayer, staying in the Word. But in the natural, we have a good amount of supplies stored up. We have water set aside. We have non-perishable food set aside. We have materials and equipment and resources set aside in the event of a quote unquote disaster or displacement event. In fact, Tim Linton, who is an earth system scientist at the University of Exeter, and lead author of the report, told the Associated Press that these tipping points pose a threat of a magnitude that is unprecedented for humanity. All right, now, I want to give you this next report. Now, we shared this on our main website, and this completely went viral. And again, they've been warning about this, guys. If we've been paying attention, they have been sounding the alarm about famines, food shortages, food distribution issues and disruptions. All of this, they've been warning about this. When this first started going down the pike back in 2000, or back when the war first started with Russia and Ukraine, remember they talked about this would cause problems with the wheat industry. It would cause problem with fertilizer. It would cause problems with all of these things, the wheats, the grains, and food in general. And then there was reports that said that as bad as it was then, that come the next couple years, and that pushes us to this time frame, consequently, of 2024, they said that we could really get into some really bad stuff here. Famines and food shortages and disruptions to the food chain. All right, so here we go. Now look at this. I found this very intriguing. Here are seven foods that may not be on your grocery store shelf in 2024, quote, you better stock up before they're gone. That's not my words. This was written by an author from shefinds.com, and we're going to go over this. Let's go over this. What are these seven foods? Let's talk about it. All right, let's read this together. As we prepare to step into 2024, it's important to know what changes are to come over the next year, including the changes that might come to the selection of items at grocery stores. This year, 2023, we faced, here it is, a scarcity of several products, from toilet paper to sriracha. Now, there are a few other items that may become harder to find over the next 12 months. Okay, here's more warning signals. Now, you say, well, this is just written from an individual from a blog. No, what she's saying, my friend, is echoed. She is literally parroting and repeating what other main organizations have warned about. The elites have been warning about. We're going to cover all this today. Just stick with me. I promise you, we're going to educate you on this stuff and inform you of this stuff. Factors like, here it is, environmental challenges. Sound familiar? Labor shortages and more. Wonder what could be more. Anyway, they could all pose a risk to the availability, quality, and affordability. Let me say that again. Availability, quality, and affordability. And guys, I could talk about that. Listen, because where I live here in Georgia, we have like five different grocery stores. I think we have a Publix, we have a Kroger, we have a Walmart, we have an Aldi's, we have a Ingles, I'm telling you, we have like six different grocery stores. And I'm telling you, depending on which grocery store you go to right now anyway, and I'm sure this is going to be subject to change, the quality of certain produce and food is much better in certain grocery chains than others. Now, I'm going to be careful what I say here, but certain places I go to get bananas, or fruits, or vegetables at this certain retail place, typically they're disgusting. They're terrible. They're gross. They're rotten. They're not pleasing at all. Then, but on other places they're not, and it's kind of hit and miss. And then you go to some chains, or some grocery stores, and they don't have anything in stock. There's no bananas, no blueberries, no oranges, no broccoli, no vegetables. Or listen to this. How about all of the stories that's been circulating about all of the food poisoning, the salmonella poisoning, the Listeria poisoning, all of these things from fresh produce and all of these things happening. Okay, so she, in her article, she mentioned, she mentioned availability, she mentioned quality, and then there's affordability. I mean, who has not noticed how expensive this stuff's getting? I mean, it's literally ridiculous how expensive some of these items are. These produce, these fresh vegetables, the poultry. If you're wanting it, you're gonna pay a price for it. All right, so let's go over the seven foods that we could start seeing disappearing from shelves next year. Okay, according to her report, what she's talking about here. Here are the seven foods that we could start seeing disappearing from shelves next year in 2024. Number one is spices. Number two is dairy products. Number three is eggs. We've seen the price of eggs just skyrocket. The next one is seafood. And then grains, fresh produce. I mean, we're already seeing that now. It's If you can find really nice fresh produce, at least in a supermarket, I know if you can go to a farmer's market, that's the best alternative if you can do that. But then she talks about meat and poultry as well. So let's go over this real quick again. Spices, dairy products, eggs, seafood, grains, fresh produce, and meat and poultry. All of these, she is saying, because again, according to this, her report she did in this blog, it is because of environmental challenges, labor shortages, and more. Okay? So you have those factors that are producing poor quality, poor affordability, and poor availability. Let me say that again. Poor availability, poor quality, and unreachable affordability for, again, for individuals that just can't afford to pay astronomical amounts for these types of foods. And the scary thing about this, guys, these are like staple foods in most homes. But again, if you've been paying attention, they have been warning about this. They've been warning us about this very thing.
Was one clip that went viral, and this was the chairman of, how do you pronounce this company? Siemens? Is that the name? Let's choose to pronounce it that way. Who said that people need to stop eating meat and that in the future we're going to have very different types of proteins than meat.
It's a very important point that you are addressing.
And look where this is coming from, guys. The World Economic Forum. What a shock.
My daughter, 24, inspired me and said, Dad, how can you advocate for these zero carbon value chains if you still eat meat? And so I stopped eating meat. Now the math would say, well, you need to stop eating meat 11 years to compensate for a flight to Thailand. Yes, but if a billion people stop eating meat, I tell you it has a big impact.
Good luck. So how are they going to get a billion people to stop eating meat? Well, one way is to not provide it into the stores anymore. So if they stop the shipment of it, they stop the supply of it, they come up with a reason why they can't provide it anymore, then that's one reason to do it.
Not only does it have a big impact on the current food system, but it will also inspire innovation of food systems. And I predict that we will have proteins not coming from.
Now, pay attention to what this man is saying. I predict, this is from the elites. This is from the WEF. When they say, I predict, translation, it's coming. Let me say that again. When they say, I predict, when it's these guys and the Bill Gates and all these guys that say, I predict this is going to happen, or I'm willing to say that that's going to happen, you can take it to the bank that it may not be a month from now or a couple weeks from now or 2 months from now, but it's coming down the pike and you better get ready and better get prepared because the day is coming. So having said that, let's see what he predicts here. I mean, I'm going to rewind it a little bit. Ready?
On the food system, but it will also inspire innovation of food systems. And I predict that we will have proteins not coming from meat in the future. They will probably taste even better. So why are we trying to mimic meat if we can have a better taste?
So whatever's coming is going to taste better than the sirloin, than the T-bone, than the ribeye, than the brisket, than the grilled chicken breast, the chicken legs, the whatever. What's coming is going to taste better than that. Where is it coming from? It's going to taste better. I'm willing to bet they're going to say it's probably grown in a laboratory somewhere. And they're going to tell me that lab-grown meat is going to taste better than the meat that you and I are familiar with and what we know of. And again, guys, listen, I did the whole plant-based diet thing for over a year. I went with no meat, and I didn't do it because of environmental reasonings or whatever that is. I did it for my own health. I had some health issues And I kind of laid off on that for a while. But I can tell you right now, I don't eat a whole completely plant-based diet. I don't eat a lot of meat, but I still eat meat. I ate meat today. I had chicken with rice and vegetables. Okay, I had a little bit of steak last night. So I'm not bashing plant-based eaters or vegetarians, but this is a whole other issue here, guys. You know, we're talking about where the entire world is going to be pressured to eat this way, or there'll be consequences. There'll be penalties.
They will be zero carbon and much healthier than the kind of food that we eat today.
So this is the main clip that's gone viral from the World Economic Forum. And what's amazing to me is no one has pointed out what this answer was in reaction to. The question, and I haven't really found a clip of the question as well, but I did get to see it as it was happening. Because you can stream all of those. This is one of the odd things about the World Economic Forum. We think of it as this highly secretive sort of cabal of people. They live stream most of their events. And
yeah, because they don't hide it. Their agenda is not hid behind closed. This is not the Bilderbergs. This is not the New World Order here. We're talking about those days of the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, the Rockefellers, where they do their secret meetings behind closed doors. Guys, those days are over. They don't need to do it in secret anymore. It's wide open because most of society is embracing the agenda. Hello?
The question that was asked specifically referenced eating bugs. The question that was asked was about how we can get people to move away from eating meat and go toward more vegetarian or vegan or even edible insects diets. And his answer, the CEO of this company, or chairman rather, a very important company, was, oh yes, of course, that's what we have to do. We need 1 billion people to stop eating meat. And the proteins of the future, they're not going to come from meat. They're going to taste much better. Specifically in reaction to a question that mentions edible insects. So when we hear that the Davos set is talking about, you will eat the bugs, you will live in the pod, you will own nothing and be happy, they mean that.
All right, guys. So again, they've been warning us, they've been telling us, everything's falling into place for something to impact the food chain, the food supply, all these things are going to be disrupted. And have you been paying attention to what's going on with the poultry? Consequently, they're telling us to stop eating meat. All the while, we have this bird flu that is sweeping across America.
Carol Paredes raises many different animals on her 3-acre property in Petaluma. Besides goats and cows, she has hens and roosters. News about the avian flu spreading concerns her to a degree.
We're always concerned, and you just try to do what you can to make sure that they're okay. But then, you know, at the end of the day, there's really not a lot I can do about it. I can't put them in a bubble and you know, prevent any other bird from coming and drinking out of their water.
Paredes lives right across the street from Sunrise Farms, which is one of two commercial poultry operations in Petaluma devastated by the avian flu.
The California Department of Agriculture has euthanized about 80,000 hens here at Sunrise Farms, and another 170,000 birds are being put down at Reichardt Duck Farm.
It's heartbreaking. I feel bad for them. I do. I mean, you know, because that's not something that, you know, that's their business. That's their livelihood.
There are two locations, commercial poultry flocks in the county that were impacted last week.
ABC 7 News reached out to Sunrise Farms and Reichardt Duck Farm for comment, but they did not return our call. Andrew Smith is the agricultural commissioner of Sonoma County.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture and local agencies responded to mitigate the impact of that pathogen so that it doesn't spread to other farms, and also to depopulate those facilities because there's no cure for highly pathogenic avian influenza.
Food and agriculture experts expect avian flu will drive up the price of eggs in stores. Experts say the avian flu was first detected in Sonoma County the week before Thanksgiving. The avian flu impacted San Benito County this week. The virus is highly contagious in domestic poultry, ducks, chickens, and turkeys, and spread through water, feces, and bodily fluids. To prevent the spread, experts say infected facilities are being quarantined and tested.
whether it's a big poultry producer or a small flock owner like Peretta's.
You can take precautions, but you can't prevent any of this. There are diseases that are becoming more and more prevalent.
That is causing millions of chickens and I believe turkeys as well to be slaughtered. But now it's even gone into France. Here's an article from Reuters. France has been put on high alert for bird flu after new cases have been detected there as well. According to the report, France raised the risk level of bird flu to high from moderate. This after new cases of the disease were detected, forcing poultry farms to keep birds indoors and to stem the spread of this highly contagious virus. The decision by the Agriculture Ministry was published in the official journal, on Tuesday. Avian influenza, commonly known as bird flu, has led to the culling of hundreds of millions of birds worldwide in recent years. All right, so food shortages, it's here, it's coming, it's going to increase. They're telling us this, they're preparing us for this. They're saying get ready for it. But you know what else we're going to see more of? Drug shortages. There was a recent report. This was from several sources here, but drug shortages have reached a record high.
A nationwide drug shortage has reached a 10-year high here in the United States.
Nearly 300 medications are currently in short supply, including critical care drugs used to treat cancer. Some of the shortages may be due to supply chain disruptions, manufacturing issues, high demand, and overprescribing. But experts say the majority of the shortages are linked to problems in the generic drug market, which accounts for 90% of all drugs in the U.S.
Data presented at a Senate subcommittee hearing in March found drug shortages increased by nearly 30% between 2021 and 2022. The average shortage lasted a year and a half, which for somebody counting on those drugs is potentially a lifetime.
Absolutely. Joining us now is one of the medical experts who testified at that hearing, Dr. Andrew Schumann. He is a cancer surgeon and an associate professor and chief of medical ethics at the University of Michigan Medical School. Dr. Schumann, welcome. You testified before the U.S. Senate subcommittee hearing looking into the shortages. Can you tell us what came out of the hearing and where the committee stands now in terms of recommendations?
Thank you so much for the opportunity to join you today. This has been a longstanding issue, as you've noted, and it's truly wonderful to see that we're finally making some strides. The Senate held a hearing on this, and one of the ways that we can move forward is to incentivize companies to produce drugs that may not necessarily be as profitable, but also to give FDA some opportunities to ensure that they know where these shortages are coming from and what can be done about them.
Let's talk about the question of profitability, because there are various factors within the generic drug market that are contributing to these shortages. So what are the possible solutions?
So one of the key things to realize is that this isn't simply a supply and demand issue, because not many doctors or patients are actually buying these drugs off the shelves. Rather, hospitals are purchasing them in bulk as part of contracts that last for many, many years. So being able to change the price or increase the price is just not tenable. As a result of that, one of the major ways that we can move forward is to incentivize high quality product and for hospitals to be able to know whether they're buying a product that is not only in better supply, but also a better quality drug made in a facility, perhaps on American soil even, that can be vouched for better.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of these delays, it is just unimaginable to think about what some of these families must be going through, and the doctors involved, too, having to deal with this. I mean, how are they, both doctors and patients, handling the delay in cancer treatments? Are there any alternatives to, say, the chemotherapy drugs that are in short supply?
Yeah, it's a great point. And this is, I described this in my testimony at the Senate as a tragedy happening in slow motion. Mm. And the point being, this has been going on for many, many years. And frankly, we're tired of it as clinicians, as citizens. Patients simply deserve better. In many cases, there are alternative drugs available, but we may not have the data or the research to prove that they're good enough. And to a large extent, you don't want your cancer surgeon or your cancer doctors improvising how to save people's lives.
Yeah. Dr. Schumann, you're a cancer surgeon, as we mentioned, and we've spoken quite a bit about cancer drugs being in short supply. But I also want to give you an opportunity to tell our viewers about some of the other drugs that are in short supply right now.
Yeah, so the categories of drugs that are short is very broad, and many of them are generic medications that require sterile processing, simply because that's a very expensive and complicated process. And when companies aren't necessarily making the margin on those products, there's not a whole lot of incentive to produce them. One specific example recently was IV contrast materials, which is what is used to do radiologic studies. And one factory went down during COVID that was based in China, and that overnight cut the supply of this particular product in half.
This is the exact case that we're looking at in a recent report. This is from the dailymail.com. I'm going to read this. U.S. drug shortages hit record high. Lawmakers warn they can mean life or death for millions. We just went over that. One 9-year-old girl who was diagnosed with leukemia faces a 15-month wait for life-saving medication that costs just $10. This report indicates that old generic drugs are being discontinued and swapped for more profitable ones. Gee, oh, we would never think that the pharmaceutical industry would do that, would they? Shortages have reached a record a 5-year high in 2022 with 295 active shortages. Patients with aggressive blood cancers, life-threatening pneumonia, and mental illnesses are just some of those waiting more than a year for vital medicines, according to a report and an investigation from the dailymail.com. Now, I found this very intriguing. I want to highlight this again. Patients with aggressive blood cancers and life-threatening pneumonia. Kind of like the white lung syndrome. So here now, consequently, we have a upper respiratory viral infection that's spreading all across the world that's impacting young people. And we just so happen to have a drug shortage of these cheap generic drugs like amoxicillin, one of the oldest drugs ever created. And we can't, and we're having a shortage of this. So don't you think that's interesting? I believe that's very interesting. One notable medicine, again, is amoxicillin, used to treat bacterial infections, including bacterial infection, partly driving the so-called white lung outbreak in Ohio, that's here in America, and in China. This report says that one teenage lymphoma patient from Indiana was forced to take a type of chemotherapy that had previously led to a life-threatening allergic reaction. Why? Because the medication that he had tolerated was out of stock. Then there was another Florida-based mother of a 9-year-old girl, that's what you're looking at here on your screen, who has an aggressive leukemia, was told to expect a 15-month wait for a $10 drug that would save the young girl's life. So please pray for this young girl. Pray that, number one, that she would be able to get the treatment that she needs, or that the Lord would supernaturally heal her. Come on, we serve a God that heals today. I believe that God heals today, and he can do that. So here we go. So think about this. So they've been warning, and they are continuing to warn, there will be famine, there will be food shortages, and it just so happens that there's plagues and pestilences that are sweeping the lands that are killing off the meat that they've been telling us to stop eating. Now we have viruses that are upper respiratory infections that can be treated with cheap antibiotics, but yet we can't get those antibiotics because of a shortage. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's just all move along now. But while we're worried about these things, the World Health Organization has chimed in, and they say it's time for you to pay more taxes on your sugary drinks and alcohol. Now, I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink alcohol, but I do like my occasional sweet tea. I do like, you know, my kids like to drink some Sprite every now and then. I'll drink some Sprite every now and then. And you know what? I'm an American. I have every right to do that. If I pay for it, I earn my money, I do this, I have every right to do that. But according to World Health Organization, you can have your alcohol and your sugary drinks, but you're going to pay a hefty fine for it. Let's see what they say here. because the World Health Organization has deemed these to be unhealthy. These are unhealthy lifestyles. And after studying taxation rates, the WHO said the average global tax rate on such, quote, unhealthy products was low, and hiking taxes could result in healthier populations. So how are we going to keep the population healthy? We got to cut out the meats. We got to cut out the sugary drinks. We got to cut out the alcohol. Guys, listen, the World Health Organization, the WEF, the UN, all the elites, they want to control every angle, every aspect of your life. They want to control what you're watching on television. They want to control what you're looking at on your computer. They want to control and monitor what you're looking at on your smartphone. They want to control what you put in your body, whether it be liquid, whether it be solids. They want to control what kind of food you eat, when you eat it, how you eat it. They want to control what kind of vehicle you drive. They want to tell you where you can go, when you could do it, how you could do it, who you can support, who you can't support. They want control of every aspect of your life. All right, let me move on to something else here. Luke 21:11 says there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilence, and here we go, there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Jesus said these will be some indicators that will point to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I found some interesting articles that I want to share with you, some information that is that pertains to this, to great and fearful sights from heaven. According to, this is from Study Finds, one physicist explains that the Earth's magnetic field, listen to this, could completely flip soon. Wow. Earth's magnetic field plays a huge role in protecting people from hazardous radiation and geomagnetic activity that could affect satellite communications and the operation of power grids, and it moves. Scientists have studied and tracked the motion of the magnetic poles for centuries. The historical movement of these poles indicates a change in the global geometry of the Earth's magnetic field. It may even indicate the beginning of a field reversal, which is a flip between the north and the south magnetic poles. This physicist who wrote this said that he studies the interaction between the planets in space, and while the north magnetic pole moving a little bit isn't a big deal, a reversal, an actual reversal, could have a huge impact on Earth's climate and our modern technology. He goes on to say that reversals don't happen instantaneously, but instead, they occur over thousands of years. He goes on to say that a reversal usually takes a few thousand years, but during this time, the magnetosphere orientation may shift, listen to this, and expose more of the Earth to cosmic radiation. These events may change the concentration of ozone in the atmosphere. Scientists cannot tell with confidence when the next field reversal will happen, but we can keep mapping and tracking the movement of Earth's magnetic north. Now, what I found to be intriguing, guys, is I remember when I was doing some research on the days of Noah, and I've taught on this. So we've had this on somewhere in our archives on YouTube, and we have over 1,000 messages on YouTube, and this is somewhere in our archives and our podcast. But did you know that there is, and I've talked about these books, there's these I call these historical books, like the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher. Both of these books are mentioned in your Bible. One is mentioned in the New Testament, the Book of Enoch, and the Book of Jasher is mentioned twice in the Old Testament. In the Book of Enoch, chapter 65, verse 1, the writer tells us that in the days of Noah, or I should say in Noah's day, according to the Book of Enoch, chapter 65, I'm going to read this. This is chapter 65, verse 1. And in those days, Noah saw the earth had tilted and that its destruction was near. Let me say that again. Noah saw the earth had tilted. It had tilted on its axis and that its destruction was near. He's referencing the great deluge where the fountains of the deep burst open and there was a great flood that swept the earth. So This is intriguing to me. So, and again, if and it, this physicist said that the Earth's magnetic field reverses every so many thousands of years. Well, again, if you go back, again, depending on if you believe in a young Earth or old Earth, we can all say that this was several thousands of years ago when this event happened. So are we due for a magnetic reversal? Are we going to see the Earth be tilted on its axis again before the next judgment, which according to Peter will be a renovation of fire, which will all again take place during the tribulation? Time will tell, my friend. Now, here's another story. I thought this was very intriguing. This is from the New York Post. An asteroid will pass in front of a bright star called Betelgeuse. That's the actual name of this star. And it will produce a, and I quote, a rare eclipse that will be visible to millions. Whoa, what's this about? One of the biggest and brightest stars in the night sky will momentarily vanish as an asteroid passes in front of it to produce a one-of-a-kind eclipse. The rare and fleeting spectacle, late Monday into early Tuesday, should be, now this is next week, should be visible to millions of people along a narrow path stretching from Central Asia, Armenia, Turkey, Greece, Italy, and Spain to Miami and the Florida Keys and even parts of Mexico. The star that they're mentioning, again, is called Betelgeuse, and it is a red supergiant in the constellation. Again, it is a this is a red supergiant in the constellation Orion. The asteroid is Leona, and it's a slowly rotating oblong space rock in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Now, I found this to be interesting. I'd looked up the word Betelgeuse. What does it even mean? According, again, when I pulled this up, this is what the definition comes up. It is the second brightest star in the constellation Orion, marking the eastern shoulder of the Hunter. Its name is derived from the Arabic term meaning, quote, the giant's shoulder. It is one of the most luminous stars in the entire night sky. Now, this star has some history on it. There was a report, now you can see this, this came out this year in July. Is the puzzling star Betelgeuse going to explode in our lifetime after all? A new unpublished study is making waves on the internet by claiming that one of the brightest stars in the night sky might die in a spectacular explosion within our lifetime. The study, currently available online, preprint, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, conjectures that the red giant star Betelgeuse, the left shoulder of the constellation Orion, also known as Alpha Orionis, may have less than 300 years worth of fuel left in its core. When the star burns through those last drops, its core will collapse into a black hole, and the process blast out of the star's outer layer at the enormous speed of up to 25,000 miles per second. This fiery demise is what astronomers call a supernova explosion. And in the case of Betelgeuse, it will be a spectacular sight for observers on Earth. Let me say that again. It will be a spectacular sight for observers on Earth. Remember Luke 21? There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Interesting. Since the star is only 650 light years from Earth, those layers of gas and dust will shine as bright as the full moon in our sky for several weeks. We've never seen anything like this, guys, in our lifetime. So now here we have this asteroid that's passing over this. And they're saying if it's a total eclipse, astronomers are not sure how many seconds the star will disappear completely, perhaps up to 10 seconds. Again, Betelgeuse is visible with the naked eye. Binoculars and small telescopes will enhance the view. And this Betelgeuse is thousands of times brighter than our sun and some 700 times bigger. All right, guys, so we've covered a lot today on this program. We're running out of time. We're coming up on our one-hour mark, close to it. So we're going to go ahead and probably call it a day, call it a week. It's Friday, December 8th, so this will be our last podcast until Monday. I know many of you guys have been wondering when we're going to do some Equippy messages. We're going to get them on deck for you next week. So I'll be looking for some Equippy messages. We'll give you some more information like what we've given you today. But what I wanted to get you up to par with some of these crazy headlines, some of these things that are going on from a prophetic perspective and things to watch out for. That's what we do as a watchman. We see things, we perceive things, things that are happening, and we inform you of these things, and we try to pull it around, and we always try to lead you back to the Word of God. So listen, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's going to be our main website. Again, don't forget to get our free app available on Apple, Android. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. It's going to be right at your fingertips with every headline, everything readily available. Again, guys, if this ministry is a source of information, blessing, revelation, equipping, all of the above, week after week after week, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right here on your screen, you can give electronically, either through the app or through the main website. Again, you can do many different ways. There, you can give by credit card, by PayPal, by Venmo, by Cash App, all that's available. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, again, I want to close by saying thank you to all of our supporters, our partners of our ministry, all of the emails, the cards, the Christmas cards, the letters, all of these things, the blessings, and again, all of these things that you guys send to us week after week after week in your partnership. We would not be able to do what we're doing week after week without your support. So again, from the bottom of our heart, all of us and our team here at End Time Headlines, we love you guys, we appreciate you, and we thank you so much for your support. So listen, we're going to sign off for today, but we'll be right back here in the studio, Lord willing, on Monday, December, 8, 9, 10, 11th. We'll be back on December 11th on Monday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget, next week, Thursday night, we plan on being on Bishop Larry Ragland's The Big Picture. Of course, we'll broadcast it here, but I'll be on there with him. And who knows what we'll be talking about next week. So many things can change in a 24-hour period. So listen, we love you guys. And remember, Jesus, I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday or Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.